In collaboration with the BBC World Service, Radio 4 presents Globe Theatre 89, a series of five plays by internationally renowned writers. This week, the playwright is Louis Naura from Australia. We'll hear his new work for radio, Summer of the Aliens. Here, though, to introduce the play and the writer is Michael Billington.
Of all the playwrights in this current Globe Playhouse series, Louis Naura is probably the one whose name strikes the least familiar chord with British listeners. But, as Summer of the Aliens proves, he's one of the most original talents to have emerged from the great post-war upsurge of Australian drama. He was born in Melbourne in 1950, graduated from the university there, and had his first play, Kiss the One-Eyed Priest, presented at the La Mama Theatre, Melbourne, in 1973. Since then, he's also written extensively for the Australian stage and for ABC Radio, published two novels, and also written two opera libretti. His work is characterised by an anti-naturalistic musical style, and that is certainly evident in the one stage play of his to have reached Britain, Inner Voices. It deals with a claimant to the Russian throne, Ivan VI, who has spent 23 years immured in prison, living in total silence. And it obviously owes a considerable debt to works like Calderon's Spanish masterpiece, Life is a Dream, and to Peter Handke's Casper. With the play you're about to hear, Summer of the Aliens, Louis Naura is dealing with territory much closer to home. The setting is the Melbourne suburbs in 1962, at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis. But the hero, Louis, is less preoccupied with that than he is with his dad's return after 5 years away, with the peculiarities of the eccentric neighbours, and with the distinct possibility that aliens have landed. To tell us more about Louis Naura and the context of the play, I've got with me Judy Kampfner. She's the author of a book about Louis Naura to be published next year in Australia by Currency Press. And Judy, can I come to the obvious point first? The hero of this particular play is called Louis. The author himself is narrating this specific ABC production. Do we therefore take it this is an autobiographical play?
Yes, it is very autobiographical, and it's in fact a first for Louis because he's always avoided writing anything that was very autobiographical before. He's avoided talking about himself in interviews. He's alluded to himself as a character in one of his plays quite recently, and his mother in another one, but he's never actually written something about his past, and this is very much himself. He was born and brought up in a working-class, far-flung suburb of Melbourne. He had an absentee father. He was very much brought up by eccentric women who he said verged on madness. And he also was quite an outsider, as the young boy is in this play, because he had a head injury as a 13-year-old and was kept back at school and very much saw everything from a very distant perspective. And this is something which obsesses him, this feeling of a communication barrier and not being able to say what you actually feel and not being able to get close to people.
I said that you've written a book about him. How did you come to be involved with him, and how did you come to write the book?
I was researching and tutoring at the University of New South Wales in their very active theatre studies department, and the idea was to do a whole series, because there's never been such a thing before, a critical works of Australian playwrights, and Louis was obviously one who had to be included.
I would say that our knowledge of Australian drama in Britain is partial, and it probably hinges mainly on one writer, David Williamson, whose works we've seen both on the stage and on film and on television. And broadly speaking, Williamson is a realistic writer. Does Louis Naura belong to a different tradition?
Yes, he does. He's quite consciously avoiding that naturalistic tradition, and in fact it's very sad that Williamson is the only playwright really that many people in England know of in Australia. Naura writes from a very cultured perspective. He's seeped himself in non-Anglo-Saxon literature. He, like many Australians, he doesn't want to reproduce Anglo-Saxon English culture. He wants to find a voice that's uniquely Australian. And he's also very interested in Aboriginal culture, and in films, and in a sort of wide series of media influences. He's very sensitive, I think, and a very sensual person.
Most writers, or many dramatists anyway, have one big theme that obsesses them, one idea that runs through their work. Is it possible to trace that through Louis Naura's work, or is he too diverse to be pinned down to one big theme?
I think he has a number of themes. He's very much a romantic in the German sense of the word and an idealist. And there's a feeling of a quest always in his work, of a search for a perfect society. And, of course, he's so sensitive that what he sees around him is ugliness, and for him there's no such thing as love in the pure sense that he wants it. So there's always a feeling of pessimism and disappointment and apocalyptic disaster at the ends of his plays because he can't get what he's seeking.
What would you say are his major plays, either for the stage or for the radio?
Well, he was really prolific in the early 80s for the stage. Inside the Island is, I think, the play which he most achieved a feeling of completeness in. There was a real sense of a total vision, which I think was very satisfactorily enacted.
What was the territory of that play? What was it about?
That was set in Australia in the past, early colonial days, on a homestead, and there was very much a sense of the English civilising influence which doesn't sit happily in Australia. And there was a feeling of corruption, that the power-hungry homesteaders were, in fact, destroying the lives of the native population and the landscape of Australia, which is something which also interests him and is very, very evident in his work, even when he's not actually writing about Australia, because he's, in fact, as with Inner Voices, set his work in Russia, in Paraguay, in China. But there's always a feeling of a civilization which is being violently unsettled by an imposing force.
But it sounds to me, from what you're saying, as if this play is very unusual in that it is set, isn't it, a very specific Melbourne suburb. I mean, does he not normally write about Sydney, Melbourne, the Australia of the present?
No, he doesn't. And also it's unusual because there's a lot of comedy in this play. He, in fact, calls it a dark comedy. And up till now, I think he's been a little uneasy in the comic. He has sort of comic characters sometimes and comic cameos, but there is very much a total sensitivity to that sort of schoolboy comic language and a wistful way of looking at life which permeates this play.
But I'm interested also in the context of this play. I mean, for a start, I mentioned it came from the ABC organisation in Australia. Is there a large radio output in Australian drama?
Yes, there is, and it's had a long tradition. And there's a very strong nurturing of new writers, which is similar to the BBC. And plays are put out four times a week, and there's a lot of new output that comes out. And there's a real tradition also for working experimentally, recording on location, using radiophonic techniques.
Do writers in Australia, as happens in Britain, as you know, move easily between the media? I mean, do they commute between the stage and radio and film and television?
Yes, they do. I think they have to, because obviously, you know, there is a lot of theatrical activity, but there's not enough to keep you actually in work all the time. And commissions for mainstream theatre productions are few and far between. So a person like Louis would write, as you said in your introduction, for a lot of different media, and particularly recently for television.
And how much has he actually written for radio?
He's written three plays for radio, one which was an adaptation, and two which have been specifically for the ABC.
Finally, where would you put this in the context of Louis Naira's work? Are you suggesting that it is something of a departure?
It is a departure in the sense that it's gentler than a lot of his work, which has been quite violent, sometimes verging on the melodramatic, but which he can handle very well. This is much more personal, much more gentle, and much more comical. There's something of a similarity to me in Under Milk Wood. It's a similar idea of a sort of play for voices. There's not a plot as such, which is typical of Naira. It's very episodic. But there is a feeling of various characters coming and going through a narrative, which is in a way more of a poem than a play. And I hope he'll start writing poems in future.
And as you say, and as in Under Milk Wood, there is a very strong narrator who binds it all together.
Which here is Louis himself.
Right, well now to Summer of the Aliens, selected memoirs of an Australian boyhood, a new play for radio by Louis Naira. Ben Pawley is Louis, and Louis Naira himself, as you say, is the narrator. Summer of the Aliens.
This is where I used to live, to Brook Street. All the streets of this House Commission estate are named after famous battles, like Gallipoli, Somme, Kokoda.
Lewis, come on, please.
The houses were built of concrete slabs and plonked down in the paddocks of northern Melbourne. Beyond to Brook Street were flat plains that stretched 500 miles to Sydney.
Please, I can't reach it. It's driving me mad.
I was 13 and had lived in to Brook Street all my life. The time? The early 1960s. It's summer.
You peel Dulcie's back. Why don't you peel mine, please?
You're my sister.
What's that got to do with it? Please, it'll all come off in one strip. We can make a Nazi lamp out of it.
Well, I'm going in to watch TV.
You're a real shit of a brother, Lewis.
When we passed the dark side of the moon, they gave me apples to eat.
What sort of apples?
Just like on Earth, but crispier.
That was the year I developed an obsession with flying saucers.
And then you went on to Venus?
We went to Venus. Inside Venus, there's a gigantic city. People can fly. They think flying, then they fly. They are not like men and women like us. They are all the same sex.
Are they clean people?
Yes, very clean.
So how do they breed?
I didn't ask them. They told me they'd tell me next time.
So there will be a next time?
Very soon they're going to take me back there for a longer stay. I said I couldn't be away from work too long.
Then they flew you back?
Yes. They told me that a lot of them live amongst us. They're collecting information.
For invasion?
I don't know. They were kind to me.
Sometimes, I couldn't get to sleep. Especially when it was hot, and the telephone wires would sing and hum really loudly. I used to wonder if aliens spoke like the telephone wires. I thought about aliens a lot that year.
Me a bit after this, mate.
You two get back, you're putting me off. Why do they hang around?
To get the brass casting.
Paul!
You said they lived amongst us. He's going back to Venus with them soon.
Ah, you missed again. It's a terrible shot. Oh, great, he's giving up. Let's go get him.
I bet you the flying saucers look like these clay pigeons.
What, black?
No, the colour of this brass. Shinier.
We should get a couple of bob for this lot. Do you want to come back to my place for tea?
Nah, got to go home for tea tonight. Mum got really angry last time when I didn't tell her.
Dad says there must be something wrong with the water in your street.
What do you mean?
Well, you've got four sisters and everyone else in the street has girls. He says you have to be careful you don't grow up to be a sissy.
No, I guess so.
Come on, Slackers, give me a hand. You have to get there before that shot.
Hello, Lewis.
Hi, Mr. Pisano.
Where you been?
Selling brass to the scrap merchants. Brian and me were at the rifle range, Savo.
His number's not big enough. Either's yours. Seeing you're the man of the house, you go and paint a bigger number on the front.
Yes, Mr. Pisano.
Mr. Pisano was the postman. He lived a few doors down from us. He didn't like to stand still. He ran his morning and afternoon rounds. He had this thing about numbers. He didn't think people's house numbers were big enough. He had a wife who had yellow hair like a poodle.
Ham are those Brussels sprouts. June, crumb them properly.
I'm here. She came off.
Where have you been? You were supposed to help your sister get the tea.
Well, who's Brian?
You didn't go to the rifle range, did you?
No, we were just messing around. Mr. Pisano said we had to get a bigger number.
Oh, he's as mad as a two-bob watch. He knows who we are. Why should we bother?
Mrs. Bizarro really doesn't have blonde hair. She is a frost.
Oh, she looks like a cheap tart. Suddenly I don't know when to stop. Lewis, wash your hands. And clean it from Louise. You could grow potatoes there.
Yes, Mum. I don't know why you spend all your time with Brian. He's really...
Oh, shut up. You two, stop it.
I lived in a world of women. I was surrounded by them. Even Granny was staying with us. She arrived one day with her budgie and said she wasn't going back to Granddad ever.
This is real loony at school. Just arrived from the migrant hostel. He says he's got a father who's a duke or something. I said, how come he came out for 10 quid? He said, they've fallen on hard times. Can you believe that? Oh, who might be a duke? Oh, you believe anything.
There's too many daggers and pumps at school now. They think they earn
it. June, eat it all up. There are starving people in India. Miss Smarty Pants, you're staying there until you finish everything.
Mum, stop it.
What's the matter?
Don't let the budgie pick between your teeth. It's unhealthy.
It'd be unhealthy if I let the food to rot between my teeth.
The budgie pops in my hair, Mum.
Oh, don't let it play in your hair. Where are you going, Lewis?
Finish my tea.
My tea?
My tea. I'm going outside.
What to do?
He's looking for flying saucer.
I am not.
You are, so you're an embarrassment to me at school. Everyone thinks you're great.
I'll get nicked. Lewis!
That's all he talks about all the time, Mum. Flying saucers. You're an embarrassment.
Yeah, and you smoke.
I don't.
It's true, Emma.
Oh, he's a liar.
Sneak out at night, especially when I had asthma, and I'd sneak into people's front yards or backyards, and I'd watch people, just watch them. In summer, everyone had their windows open. I could see and hear everything.
Dismantling and withdraw from Cuba of all missiles and other weapons of offensive capability.
Mr. Bizarro would always be watching TV. Mrs. Bizarro was always doing her nails or something. They never talked to each other. They just watched TV. In the dark. Only the light from the TV on. It made them look like zombies. Mrs. Irvin was always crying. Mr. Irvin liked to sleep on a back porch in the summer. He loved to drink beer. He should have been a bottler. One of their daughters was called Dulcie. She was one of my closest friends. Mr. Irvin was in and out of jail, like a yo-yo, Mum said. She never knew what I used to do at night. I liked to walk, because summer made my asthma worse. I slept in the same room as Emma and June. They never knew I used to sneak out the window. They slept like logs. Sometimes, I tiptoe down a corridor and listen to Mum and Grandma talk.
You have to clean up after the budgie, Mum.
I do.
It shits everywhere.
Oh, it's not like dog stuff. It's really small poo.
It doesn't matter. It carries disease.
Oh, you're the same as Harry. Always hating my birds.
Why don't you open the letters he sends you?
What's the point? He's illiterate. I'd get upset at the poor spelling. It'd make me madder with him. Same as Eric. Oh,
no talk about Eric.
I told you not to marry that.
I said...
Look at you. Living in a housing commission estate, 5 kids, Eric running off. Oh,
Look at your brain.
I said not to go on about it.
I warned you. You have no right to criticise me, seeing you're living here.
I have every right. I'm your mum.
I was a teacher. I wanted you to be one. Have a nice home, but no, here we are, surrounded by the scum of Australia.
We'll go back home to Dad, then.
Don't threaten me. At least he's my friend.
One day I'm going to bite off his head.
Oh, charming.
Did you hear that, Freddy?
And you clean up his shit.
Double charming.
The single UFOs are like scouts. They'll come in a pack when they come.
Thanks, awesome.
Yeah.
Morning, Dulcie. Morning, Lewis.
Morning, Mr. Pisano.
Tell your father to fix his number, Dulcie.
Mr. Pisano's crazy.
Oh, he just wants to do his round in a hurry, that's all.
Look at Jenny, she walks like a footballer. Flying saucer people won't come in spaceships like an army.
What do you mean?
They'll do it in a real sneaky fashion. They'll pretend to be human, you know, look like them. Then they'll pretend to be nice. Then take over your mind.
Did you see something on TV about it?
No, I just know.
I never walked to school with my sisters. I got enough of them at home. Because I played up in class, I was forced to sit next to a girl. It was the worst punishment a boy could get at our school. I wanted to sit next to Brian, but I had to sit next to Dulcie.
Settle down, please. All right. Now, if we measure the circumference of a circle, we have also to know its diameter. Measuring the diameter, we are then in a position to know the circumference. Now, here is the time we have to learn one of the most important formula. Lewis?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing?
Playing with my ruler.
You are not. You are flicking bits of paper with it.
I'm not.
Come out here.
Boy, you're really going to cop it now, Lewis.
Now. You'd think that someone with your marks would pay attention. Look at little Con here. He doesn't even understand English and he gets better marks than you do. Hold out your hand. Again. Again.
It's really rude.
I didn't have time to put chalk on it.
That doesn't work.
Yes, it does.
You'd know if you put chalk on your head, because when you hit it, there'd be chalk flying everywhere. Does it still hurt?
Nah.
You're used to the cuts.
Nah, shut up, custard face.
His dad's just gone to jail for 6 years.
What'd he do?
Well, robbed a few grocery shops. Do you play with Dulcie much?
What do you mean?
Like, wrestling stuff.
Nah, she's a girl.
But if you wrestle with her, you'd be able to feel the norks.
What?
Why don't you ask her to show them to me?
You want to see her norks?
Yeah, you ask her. One night after school, all she has to do is lift up a jumper, just for a sec.
You really want to see her norks?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
But it's only a girl.
Oh, you won't do it.
I didn't say that.
King James was Scottish and believed in witches. He had many burnt at the stake.
Lewis, help your sisters with tea.
Lewis is reading to me. He's a boy.
He shouldn't be doing girls' work.
And he's got to pull his weight.
I like him reading to me.
Lewis got the cuts today.
Lewis, did you get the strap?
Well, it wasn't my fault.
Would you get the front door?
I'll get okay.
And then I want you to come back and explain why you got the strap.
Dad.
Hi, son.
Right out of the blue, Dad had come home. He'd left 5 years before and we hadn't heard a word from him. All of us except Mum was glad to see him back.
Didn't hear a word from you. You sent no money. What were you doing?
Digging tunnels.
Where?
Snowy River scheme.
Why didn't you send money then?
I did.
Once?
I gambled away.
Was there another woman?
No. There's always only been you.
Well, why did you leave then?
Felt suffocated, I guess.
Felt suffocated? You say one day you're going out to get a packet of cigarettes and don't come back. I was worried, frantic. The police came and everything. They were quite certain. He's run off, said the sergeant. And I would too if I was surrounded by so many women. They're your daughters too.
I didn't go.
Run away.
Run away because of them.
Because of me?
Everything.
You must hate me to do what you did.
There's so many of you.
What are you talking about? You left because you hate me. You hate your children.
I don't hate anyone. I just got itchy feet.
Have you no sense of responsibility?
Guess not.
What are you going to do?
Don't know.
You can't stay here. I don't want you anymore.
The kids like me being back.
Of course. They don't know what you really like. Kids will forgive anything.
Look, I'm not a monster. Once in a while he won't call, but it's all in the game.
Shh. Someone at the door. Who is it?
It's my mum.
What are you doing up at this hour?
Couldn't sleep.
How long have you been standing there?
Not long.
Why can't you sleep, son?
Bit of asthma.
I'll have your spray.
You staying, Dad?
All depends on your mum. He stayed. Mum wanted him to sleep on the couch, but Grandma was sleeping there. For a week or so, he slept in my room and Mum slept with June. But she finally relented and he was allowed back into the bedroom. Dulcie was sick or something for a few weeks, and so I was forced to sit next to a Dutch girl who had just arrived in the migrant hostel.
The coastline looks crinkled. Well, glaciers have helped to cause this. Now, we know what glaciers are, don't we? We heard about them last week. Well, these inlets are called fjords. Fjord is a Norwegian word. Now, basically, a fjord is a long, narrow inlet full of seawater and it's bordered by steep cliffs.
What's your name?
Fjord
is that your name?
Deep.
Yeah.
Very clear.
Yeah. Mine's Lewis. You don't have to wear your jumper all the
one
time.
One of our nearest
this is
neighbors
Australia.
Has
it's summer.
Features.
You can take off your jumper. It's
very
now.
Similar to Norway.
You're not home in Holland. We don't have Nazis here. See this thing? Your jumper. Take it off.
Anyone?
God, you're dumb. The reason why you're sweating is because you're hot.
Anyone
I command you to take off your jumper. That's right.
And so she took it off. I understood immediately why she kept it on. She had no right arm. Well, sort of. It had been cut off.
Another hint.
It was only a stump about 6 inches long, and the end of it was a piece of flesh, but the doctor had tied it up.
Australasia?
Like the mouthpiece of a balloon when you tie it up. I stared at it.
Come on.
It was horrible.
We discussed
she smiled at me,
recently when we stayed
but I wanted to run away. Then again, I was also interested in her.
Lewis? What are you doing?
Nothing, sir.
You are? What are you doing?
Touching her arm, sir. I just wanted to see what this bit of flesh here felt like. She allowed me to do it, sir.
What an idiot you are.
I just wanted to touch it.
You're weird. I'm normal. I just want to feel nerves. You want to feel a stump. Jeez.
I saw a picture once where aliens had stumps like her.
You did not.
I did.
Come on, you want to play cricket with us?
Sure.
So he ran off and left me. I didn't play cricket that much. I wasn't that good at it. I never got the ball, and I was always last man in.
snoring.
All right. Shh. Careful. Why'd you want to see me?
To see why you hadn't been at school.
Don't feel like it.
The truant inspector will get you.
Who cares?
They'll send you to a home.
Big deal. That'd be good.
Someone's broken your dolls.
I did it. I felt like it.
When are you going to come back to school?
Maybe never.
You should come back to school.
Why?
It'd be good.
Why?
We could mess around with Brian.
He's a jerk.
He really likes you.
Big deal.
He really does. He said he'd pay you threepence.
Threepence for what?
If you'd allow him to fill your knocks.
You're really disgusting.
Sixpence.
Is that what you're paid too?
I don't want to fill them.
Why not?
Just don't want to.
Do you want to fill them now?
No. I better be getting back. I'm going to play Ludo with Dad.
He's back, is he?
For good.
Do your sisters like him being back?
They think it's great. See ya.
Lewis? You know, when aliens take over human bodies, how can you tell they're aliens?
Well, it depends. Sometimes when you see them in a lightning storm, you can see their true form. Just for a real quick second. Sometimes they have a little mark on the back of their necks. But most of all, it's because they don't get too excited. Other times they do strange things, you know, stuff they didn't do before. Gotta go now.
On the way back home, I went past Mr. Pisano's. His wife was standing on the curb with three suitcases.
Why are you going?
Because I hate you.
You don't mean that.
I bloody well do.
But why?
Because you're bloody boring.
I'll change.
Postmen never change. I want a bit of romance in my life.
I'll change.
Well, I have to wait until next year for you to get it up. What are you staring at, Lewis? Nick off home.
Yes, Mrs. Pisano.
Please, don't go.
Get off your knees. God, you're so embarrassing. Taxi for Pisano? Give me a hand to put the suitcases in the boot, will you?
Look, love, I promise. I'll change. I'll take you dancing.
Pay no attention to him. It's my husband. He's a postman.
Pay me the sixpence first.
I said threepence. I got threepence, so it makes sixpence.
Give me the money. Ah, all right. Now lift up my jumper, you can have a look, then a quick feel, right?
Yeah, all right.
Like them?
They're okay.
You can have a feel. Tickling, do it firmer.
Want to feel loose?
No.
They feel good. Hey, is that all?
Yeah.
But I paid sixpence.
You paid threepence. Lewis paid the rest.
Do you want to play cricket? Yeah, sure.
Let's play at your place. Dad's got his truck parked in our backyard.
Can I come?
No, it's cricket.
Was it good?
Wasn't really long enough. Careful, snakes.
What did it feel like?
You should have felt them.
I got sisters.
Right.
I was now back in favour with Brian.
Oh, you were out.
Oh, well, how was I?
The wicket.
Oh, I never heard it.
Oh, you must be deaf then. Give me the bat. Do something about your dog, would you? The ball's covered in saliva.
Can I play?
Oh, no, rack off.
Oh, I'll let her play. We need more fieldsmen.
Okay. Field over there. And try to catch it.
Can I bowl later?
No, you only bowl underarm.
Oh, don't drink so fast, Lewis.
Oh, I'm thirsty.
How's it going?
Oh, Emma's batting.
I thought you said she didn't like Brian.
Oh, well, better get back.
Ow!
What's that?
Brian, what happened? I'm bleeding. I'm
bleeding. What happened?
Oh, she hit me. She just came up and hit me.
Emma, did you hit him?
Yes.
She hit me with the cricket bat. She's mad.
Why did you hit him?
I'm bleeding.
Because I love him.
Truman, Court Jarman, Bold McKenzie, 9. Statham, Bold Davidson, 2.
Davidson's pathetic.
What do you mean?
Anything goes against him, he pretends he has an injury and goes off. He only bowls flat out on pitches that suit him. He was pathetic in the tie test.
Did you see it?
In the whole 5 days. Those West Indians are like gods.
I thought you were working in the Snow Mountains.
I went up to Brisbane for a fortnight. I had to advise a few people on tunnels. Queensland government wants to build an underground tunnel.
Wish I had seen it.
Yeah, well, it's good.
You still listen to it. So boring.
Oh, girls don't understand.
Who wants to?
I like it.
But you're not a girl, Grandma.
Oh, did you hear that, Freddie?
Lewis, I want you to meet me tonight at the back. I have to do something. Taking it all through, the batsmanship was such that...
Dad.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star. 16 days in the... You remember that rhyme, Lewis?
What does it mean?
That's how long it took Bert Hinkler to fly from London to Australia. The first solo pilot. Now, what is it?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
16 days.
16 days.
And there you are.
And there you are.
Yeah, you have to remember that rhyme. My father taught it to me. You know the reason why you're bad at cricket?
Because I'm blind in one eye.
Are you?
I have a lazy eye. The doctor told me.
When?
While you were in the Snowy Mountains.
Oh, well, that's not the reason. That's your excuse. You can train yourself to see twice as much in your good eye. The reason you're bad is that this back lawn isn't level. When it rains, it'll be obvious. We'll have to level the yard. We'll need lots of soil, though. Get the wheelbarrow and spade.
We're going to level the backyard now.
Ah, can't do it at night. No, we're going to get some soil.
In the paddocks?
No, that's pissy soil. We have to borrow some.
Where from? It's late.
People be asleep. Just the opportunity we need. Okay, get the barrow. And quietly, quietly does it.
Won't Mr. Thompson miss it?
Nah, he's going to have the sewage put on soon. It'll go anyway. Besides, we're not taking much. Oh, hang on. Let's rest a moment. Oh, I'll put it down. You know, it'd be like a wog, right? They haven't worked through its smokos. Had to teach them a few lessons. It's good, eh?
What?
Us two, together. Father and son. It's unnatural to have too many women around. That thing between your legs, Lewis. Women go, oh, no, no. But they want it. You get them up the duff and then misery. You always get blamed. It's always the man's fault. God, you never hear the end of it. Understand me?
Yep.
It's important that fathers explain to their sons about life. You know what life is, how to deal with women. Let's get back to work.
Even if we feel this, Barrow, it won't be enough, will it?
Oh, God, no. We'll need about another 100 loads.
But we'll end up taking all of Mr. Thompson's front yard.
Oh, don't be so dumb. We'll take a bit from all the front yards.
Every night except Saturday, Dad and I went out and stole the soil he needed to level the backyard. It was hard work. Because there was a drought, the soil was hard and cracked. Only Mr. Pisano had green grass in his front yard. When he wasn't delivering letters, he was watering his front lawn until the grass was knee-high. One day when I was going to school, I saw him mowing his lawn. Instead of pushing his Victor mower in square patterns, he seemed to be pushing it everywhere, like he was drunk or something. Dulcie and I stood at his fence and watched him, wondering what he was doing.
What are you doing, Mr. Pisano?
You'll see.
And we did. He cut the grass into a gigantic number 51. 51. cut into knee-high grass.
Hey, let that be a lesson to you all. Everyone can see my number. That's how it should be. Oh.
Why have you stopped?
It's rock hard, Dad.
Oh, you're piss weak. Now give it to me. Now this is how you do it.
Dad!
What is it?
There's someone out the window.
Damn!
What do we do?
Let's get out of here. Come on, let's piss off.
He's seen us.
He hasn't.
Hey, you two.
He has.
Shut up, he hasn't.
Yes, Lewis?
Is Dulcie in?
Yes, but she can't come to school.
Is she sick?
In the head. She's been lying. Lying, even to Father Doyle. You don't lie, do you, Lewis?
Oh, no, Mrs. Irvin.
Here, I want you to look at this. Do you know what it is?
A little plastic box with cotton wool.
Look closer.
A ring?
The ring doesn't look like that. It's not a ring shape, is it?
Well, I don't know what it is.
Part of an arm. A splinter of bone. Do you know whose?
No, Mrs. Irvin.
St. Thomas's. I bought it. Cost me a bit. But I saved up my pin money and I got it last night from Father Doyle. Our house needs a relic. It'll bring Dulcie back on the straight and narrow.
Well, I better get to school. Sorry.
Lewis?
Yes?
You'll go to hell. Oh, look at you. Dirt caked under your fingernails, grubby knees.
I've been helping Dad.
Before you go to school?
Fixing up the backyard at night.
In the dark?
Have to. Dad's got night blindness. See ya.
It's hard to know.
Well, do you think aliens are among us?
No.
Then the flying saucers are just on spying missions.
This is boring. Leave Lewis alone. Freddie, tell Emma to leave Lewis alone.
Will you stop talking to that budgie?
So what do you want to watch?
IMT.
June. Lewis, we might turn it over to 9.
No, Dad, this is important. This is earth-shattering.
What a drongo. Why do you have this fascination for science fiction?
It's not science fiction. It's true.
Dad, it's the police. They want to talk to you.
Mr. Green had seen us stealing soil from his front garden. The police wanted to arrest Dad, but he promised he would put all the soil he had taken back into the holes we had dug.
And there ought to be a better word than delicious.
Just for Kellogg's cornflakes.
Just listen to this.
Why did you steal it?
Oh, you're always nagging me about not getting a job since I got back, so I thought I'd level the backyard for you.
Don't you know how mad that was? Stealing soil from neighbours.
It wasn't a lot. I mean, it was just a tiny bit from each neighbour. Geez, whatever a man does is wrong. Don't you want a level backyard?
My daughter's married to a criminal.
Oh, shut up.
Don't talk to her like that.
Come on, Lewis, let's get started.
Where are you going?
Me and Lewis are returning the soil.
But it's night.
Yeah, well, it seems right, doesn't it? We stole it at night. It's night soil. Come on, Lewis.
I told you about him. Shut up, Mum. And if that budgie shits in Emma's hair again, there'll be real trouble.
To return all the soil. Dad didn't mention levelling the garden again. When I had asthma, I went walking around the streets at night, looking in at people. Because it was a drought, no one was allowed to water their gardens. But I saw plenty of people secretly watering their gardens. Mr. Bazzano didn't care about anyone. He watered his house number in broad daylight. When people said they report him, he said he didn't care. Because he was a postman, he was above the laws of mere mortals.
Why are you always following me about? I don't understand anything you're saying. You rogues are all alike. You should learn some English. English. I'll teach you. Yeah, English. See that thing the girls are sitting on?
Yeah.
Well, that's called a bugger. Yeah, so they sit on a bugger. See Mr. Trout over there? Listen to the voice of the stranger. Trout, he's called a bastard.
I ring good night. I ring good night. Good night, I ring good night. I ring. I'll see you in my dreams.
They're like worms.
What are
aliens? Have you seen them? It stands to reason. They sneak into your ear hole.
How do they change themselves into worms?
I don't know. They just do.
Why don't you go to school?
School is for kids.
But you're a kid.
On the outside, inside, I feel an adult.
Your mum says you're a liar.
What would she know? She drinks.
Like your dad?
Secretly, she's got sherry hidden all over the house. You know Mrs. Green?
Yeah.
Well, she had an abortion on the kitchen table. Her sister's a nurse, so she knew what to do. There was blood everywhere. They wrapped up the baby in newspaper and put it in the garbage can. It wasn't her husband, right? He's in Sydney. Someone did it to her. It didn't have a head. You'd better go now. Dad stopped singing. He'll be in a mean mood now.
Okay.
Thanks for coming. I like talking to you.
Yeah, we should go UFO spotting sometime.
That'd be good.
Talking to yourself.
Yeah.
First sign of going barmy. Close the curtains. Boys like perving into girls' bedrooms.
Now we come to the geography of Denmark. Denmark is this country here. Now, what's this country called next to it? Frida, you've got your hand up.
Mr. Bastard.
What'd you say?
Mr. Bastard.
Jeez, your hand looks a mess.
You really got into me.
How did the headmaster find out?
That other Dutch shield translated. Frida said I taught her those words.
You're lucky it didn't cause blood. God, it's going perfect.
Oh, shut up. The bloody wog. Never trust him.
Yeah. See, she did that because you were playing with a stump. Girls are like that.
We are repairing our ship to leave your world. We need your help. By nighttime, we have to leave your planet. You will not see us until it is time.
Oh, he's still up, Lewis.
Mum said I could watch this and then go to bed.
God, it's grainy. Sleep through anything. Looks ugly, eh?
We have
no teeth. Old gums.
We are good.
Incredible.
But you are not ready to meet our friendship.
Ross, what's this?
Film about men from outer space.
That's stupid. Real aliens wouldn't
if
look like that.
If you saw us in our actual form, you would be horrified.
Shut.
You would
shut.
Not Dad.
It's the actual form.
Had you fallen on our world, it might have been different. Our mission was to another world. You must believe me. Only an error dragged us toward Earth.
An error? He's lying through his teeth. He's got your granny teeth.
When Dad got drunk, he liked to tease. Pretty soon after the movie finished, Dad fell asleep in his chair. Granny was already asleep on the couch. I had asthma, so I thought I'd take a walk. I went to Dulcie's house because I thought she might want to go UFO spotting with me. There was a full moon and the sky was really clear.
Include medium-range ballistic missiles, capable of carrying a nuclear warhead for a distance of more than 1,000 nautical miles.
The curtains were closed, but there was a chink where I could see in. I looked in, and I saw Dulcie in her dressing gown sitting on the bed. Her father was kissing her. She seemed in pain or shock. Or something. I walked on. I saw Mr. Pisano standing in the garden looking at his number. He was crying. I stood and watched him for a while. He didn't see me. He then opened his fly and pissed on his number. I decided I'd better get back home.
Lewis, wait.
You're coming to school.
Yeah, thought I might.
I was going to talk to you last night, but your dad was in your bedroom.
Did he see you?
Nah.
Why did you want to see me?
Thought we might go UFO spotting.
Do we need a telescope for it?
Dunno. I think people always see them with their naked eye.
Maybe we need a telescope.
Maybe.
You got one?
No.
We'll have to steal one.
Steal?
It's the only way. Books into the staff room once when Mr. Trouton saw it. Smells of teachers and chalk, doesn't it?
Never been in a staff room before.
Look at the pictures on Mrs. Thompson's board. Dad, he has been. She thinks she's so good.
What are you doing?
I mean, it's such a shit easy place to get into. They don't think students can get in. It's shit easy for me, you know, Lewis. I go down to Woolworths every day when I'm not at school, and I nick anything I want, right under the nose of the shop assistants. You know, right under their nose. Unbelievable.
Hey, what are you doing?
Getting revenge for all the cuts that Trout gives you. I'm going to piss in his drawers.
Too cloudy to watch the skies that night, so I went home. There were peculiar sounds coming from Dad and Mum's room. The rest of the house was snoring. I liked looking at my sister sleeping, like they were dead or something.
Close the window, Lewis. I want to let the budgie fly around the room. You are, Katie. He loves to feel the air.
We'll suffocate.
I've told you, when the hot northerlies come, you close all the windows. That way the house doesn't get so hot.
You're only saying that because you want Freddie to fly around the room.
I've told you that since you were a girl, so you've never listened to me. The hot northerlies are getting worse. You ought to know what? It's those Russian satellites disturbing the skies. The Earth will burn up. But you won't have to worry about it, Lewis. Once the Americans and Russians start an atomic war over Cuba...
Will you stop it, Mum?
I told your father that the Second World War was going to start. He didn't laugh when I predicted the Korean War. Oh, look. Freddy loves nesting in your hair, Lewis. Oh, there's no need to look at me like that, girlies.
But you like what?
Like you want to put me in a home.
Why don't you go back to Dad?
Because I want to teach him a lesson.
How did it go?
A month or so.
That long for a job?
Jobs dealing with tunnels are scarce.
But aren't you getting a job in the meantime?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Eric.
Oh, don't nag. Don't nag. I will. What the hell is that budgie doing? Lewis, get it out of your hair.
It's doing no harm.
Jesus, what's Pisano doing?
What do you mean?
Look at him. He's doing his round backwards. Oh. Going balmy since his wife left him.
Hello, Lewis. Off to school?
Yep.
Oh, I'm getting desperate about those numbers.
I'll have another word to Dad. We saw you running backwards on Saturday.
Did the whole round backwards. You know, Lewis, there's a man across the whole of America running backwards.
Oh, is that what you're training for?
Might be. Saturday was a trial run. I have a plan. I'm going to run the morning round as usual and then run the afternoon backwards. It'll be like completing a circle, like running into myself, meeting myself halfway, that sort of thing. Better be off. I think I might cut a few minutes off my record.
Settle, please. Come on. If you do not understand current affairs, then you don't understand what is happening to you. Now, Journey, what is the most important thing happening in the world today?
Sure. I'll come round to your place.
All right.
Dulcie? Lewis? Do you know?
I'm unsure, sir.
Unsure about what?
The question.
What's the single most important thing happening in the world today? Well?
Cuba.
Good. What is happening there?
The Americans and Russians are going to cause a war that will blow us all into nothing.
There is a threat of that, yes. Who caused it?
You mean, who's to blame?
Yes.
The Russians.
Good. Yes. Of course they are. They are the ones who set up the missile bases. They're the ones that want to bomb America. You see, the Russians are driven by evil forces. Inexplicable evil forces inside them. They want war. They want destruction. They are possessed by evil. Like evil possesses a demon.
Will your dad know you're not in bed?
It's Painwright. He gets drunk really quickly. What can you see?
The moon really close. Here, have a look.
Craters.
Yeah, it's a good telescope, isn't it?
How come those astrologers with big telescopes can't see them?
Because the aliens hide behind the dark side of the moon.
Doesn't it scare you?
What scare me?
The aliens could be here.
Oh, sometimes.
Maybe they're nicer than humans.
Maybe they're crueler.
I think that fellow you told me about was right. The one who said that they don't have different sexes like us, but no male or female. That means that they don't put their thing up a woman.
What do you mean?
I mean do.
To piss in them?
Oh, Lewis, God. Sometimes you're a dad. To put seeds in them, you know, like men do to women. You know that, don't you?
Oh, sure.
It hurts.
It hurts?
I didn't know if she was putting me on or not. We watched the skies in silence, but only saw a falling star. We were about to pack up and go home when we saw a couple walking through the long grass on the other side of the creek.
Get down!
Who is it?
Boy and girl. Let's get going.
Shh,
listen.
So, do you want to do it? I don't know. Do your parents know you're out?
No.
Do you want to go down to the rifle range?
Now?
Yeah. I'll show you where we get the first cast. That was Emily Bryan. But she hit him. He hates her.
Maybe he likes being smashed in the head.
Oh, don't be stupid. Let's get home.
It was too hot to sleep. I listened to the telephone wires singing and June talking to herself in her sleep. I began to realize that things weren't making sense. That things were upside down. People were behaving differently.
What are we doing on the reed, Dad?
Have you seen the film The Wooden Horse? Well, the real problem was to get rid of the soil so the Nazis wouldn't see. So they'd stick the soil up their trousers and sprinkle it secretly on the Nazis' garden. We're going to give your mum a great birthday present, son. We're going to level the backyard once and for all. But it's got to be a secret, right? Like the wooden horse.
I hear something under the house.
There's nothing under the house.
Well, what is it I hear?
It's in your mind.
Oh, can't we buy a fan? It's awfully hot. You should buy a car.
Oh, will you stop it?
I went for a walk this afternoon. Half an hour to the shops. You know what the government did? It built these housing commission houses as far away from normal civilization as possible.
Play with Freddy.
You step over the road and there's paddocks as far as Sydney. Couldn't get any further out from Melbourne if we tried.
Go home, then. Where have you been, Lewis?
Oh, just doing things.
Go and wash your hands. They're filthy.
That postman's gone mad. I mean, what other suburb has a postman that runs backwards? He ran his round wearing only shorts this morning.
It was hot.
It was disgusting. That's what it was.
You want to play cricket?
No.
Do you want to go to the rifle range Saturday, Arvo?
Oh, might go to the pitches.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, Emma wants to see
Emma.
It landed.
Hey, Brian!
Hi.
What are you doing here?
Talking to Brian.
Oh, Nick, off.
Stuffed.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
What's happening over there?
Mary Shane pictures of the guinea pigs.
Can I have a look?
Sure.
I could hardly believe it. He left me to look at pictures of guinea pigs. I couldn't understand it. Then he and Emma spent the rest of lunchtime on a bench, just talking.
You should see the tunnels we dug, Lewis. Right through the rock, like knife through hot butter. Day after day, we let off explosives, inching our way in. Got hotter as we went deeper. We dug past fossils from dinosaur days. It was hard to breathe, it was so deep. This is a piece of cake. A lot of strange things happen in those tunnels.
What sort of things?
Can't go into details right now. When you're older, we could dig a tunnel. Just the two of us, under the house and come up under the Irvin's floorboards. Only take a couple of weeks. Boy, wouldn't they be surprised. Who's the girl you like there?
Dulcie.
Yeah. He could come up through a bedroom floor. Her eyes would be as big as saucers. You think this dirt is really hard? Compared to the snowy mountains, it's marshmallow. You better light another candle. This one's going out.
Do you think we're taking too much dirt?
No, there's plenty.
I mean, from around the foundation posts.
Who's the expert? Who's the Snowy Mountains expert? We could dig our way to Cuba. Come up through the floorboards in Castro's bedroom. Probably while he's knocking off some Russian, Sheila, eh? We look like miners, don't we?
Freddy's head. Don't look.
Oh, yuck.
I told you not to look.
Maybe it fell off.
It was you.
You cut off his head.
Oh, don't be silly.
It was you. You've always been against Freddy, you murderer.
Murderer! I'm going to call the police!
It's a budgie! It's a bloody budgie!
Murderer!
Did either of you kill the budgie?
What?
And the budgie's lost its head. Lewis, did you...
That's it. I'm leaving.
And she did. She went back to Granddad. She called us all murderers. One time I heard Mum and Dad laughing and talking about it, but I couldn't understand what they were saying because they were in the bedroom. I didn't know if Mum did it. I couldn't believe she had. It wasn't like her. But she found it funny.
Sorry I haven't been able to come and look for your phone.
No, that's okay. I have to help Dad collect dirt. I can look for them during the day. Look out! Come on, let's just walk around it.
I hate snakes.
It's all right, it's sleeping.
They never sleep. They're always awake. They come out of the cracks in the soil. We should kill it.
No, it might turn on us. We'll leave it alone.
It's because there's no rain. They're all coming out from inside the earth.
It's because of UFOs. Grandma blames satellites, but it's UFOs, all right. Maybe they're like really hot climates.
You think they're here?
Maybe.
Do you think of sex much?
What do you mean?
Like putting it into a girl.
Well, I don't want to do that.
You're a child, Lewis.
I am not.
Brian thinks of it all the time. He's going to do that to Emma.
Oh, he wouldn't. She wouldn't let him. It's a joke. Why would he do that? It doesn't make sense.
That's what men and women do. You're a child.
Hi, kids.
Hi, Mr. Bazzano.
You know, the Americans invented the slogan, the mail must get through, rain, hail or shine. Do they know about real shine?
You better be careful, Mr. Bazzano. There's a snake back there.
Only dogs bite, postman. Can't stop now. This shortcut might take a few minutes off my record.
Sweet, just alien shorts.
It must be hot running in this heat.
It doesn't have to. Most postmen walk, and they don't run their round backwards.
We better hurry. We're going to be late. Dulcie?
I'm not going. Not anymore.
But you have to go to school.
Never again. You're all children. I'm going into town and walk around. Want to come?
No.
We'll mix stuff together.
Don't want to. The snake!
You're a child.
The floorboards.
That's a problem.
They're creaking.
Maybe you're putting on weight.
Very funny.
Yeah, Carl, we're at the housing commission tomorrow.
Is that someone outside?
Are you going balmy?
There's someone outside.
Have a big cup of tea and lie down.
Planet than ever before. To use a metaphor, we are a minute to midnight.
June, stop picking your nose.
But the vindication of right. Not peace at the expense of freedom, but both peace and freedom here in this hemisphere. And we hope around the world, God willing, that goal will be achieved. Thank you and good night.
I couldn't sleep. My asthma was too bad. I listened at Mum and Dad's door. They seemed to be talking about something that I couldn't understand. Looking at the stars calmed me down, and my asthma got better. Walking back inside, I saw a huge white number painted on the front of the house. It was the size of a man. I was going to rush inside and tell Mum and Dad, but something struck me. I knew Mr. Bazzano had done it. I ran next door and saw that they had a gigantic number too. Every house on the street did. It caused a big fuss. Police told Mr. Bazzano he had to wipe the numbers off. But nothing could get rid of the numbers. We were stuck with them. Newspapers came and visited our street and took pictures of us standing outside our numbers. Postal authorities threatened to sack Mr. Bazzano if he didn't behave.
If aliens came to Earth, they'd do it in two ways. By invading us like the Russians want to do to America, or taking over us. Taking over our whole bodies,
They'll be smarter than us.
Lewis?
Yes, Mr. Trout.
The aim of these morning talks is to talk about what you think of what is happening in the world, not films you've seen. Don't you understand, Lewis? There are no people living on Mars or Venus. There are no such things as flying saucers or aliens. I'm sorry, but the most I can give you for this talk is 1 out of 10. Now, go back to your seat. Joylene, your turn.
You may thank me.
Right, Joylene, thank you.
I would like to talk about how much we owe to the Americans and how they will save us from destruction.
Eric, didn't you ring the housing commission?
Yeah, why?
Look, right in front of me, the wall's cracking.
Just goes to show the poor materials they put into these houses. I'll
ring them again. The house is likely to fall down around our ears.
Yeah, don't nag.
Why are you stopping?
I don't want to do it anymore.
Oh, look, we've nearly got enough.
The whole house is shifting, Dad.
Are you a fairy or something?
Oh, it might collapse or something.
It won't. Even if it did, we'd be fine. See how I've arranged all this? Don't you see? My plan? These are tunnels. A honeycomb of tunnels. The house starts to collapse, we crawl into one of the tunnels.
Where do they lead?
Well, nowhere is. Yeah, give me a break, will you? I can lead them anywhere you want. Want to dig a tunnel that leads into the next street? Let's do it after we've levelled the backyard, right? Promise, I do. Now, come on, we're workmen. Let's get back to it.
No, I'm tired.
I said dig. You dig? We're so close, Lewis. Don't you want to surprise your mum?
Yeah.
Good boy.
Dad got me so upset that I couldn't sleep. I went into the paddocks to watch the skies. I set up the telescope near the creek. The creek led to the new electricity station that was being built. While I was watching, I heard giggles and two people talking on the other side of the creek. I strained my eyes and saw Emma and Brian. Gradually, I made out what they were doing. Emma watched Brian piss on a Scotch thistle. Then she sat on a rock and let Brian watch her piss. I thought I was dreaming, but they were doing it all right. They then ran off into the night. I wanted to vomit. They were crazy. I was going home to tell Mum when it came. It appeared out of nowhere. It was huge, golden-coloured, but bright, like the light of a golden star. It slowly passed over me, then headed towards the new power station. I could hardly believe it. It was true. They were here. I was afraid no one would believe me. I waited for a few more hours, but it didn't come back.
Emma? Emma, wake up.
What's the matter?
Did you see it? Did you see the flying saucer?
What are you talking about?
A flying saucer down near the creek.
You're crazy.
You must have seen it. You were down by the creek with Brian.
You're really crazy, Lewis. I wasn't with Brian.
I saw you two. You were doing strange things.
You're a joke, Lewis. I was with Joylene tonight.
I'll tell Mum what you and Brian did.
They wouldn't believe you. You're such a liar.
Get lost. I know someone who will believe me.
Lewis?
Jesus, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I was heading around the back of Dulcie's place to knock on her window when I saw a figure kneeling on the driveway. It was Dulcie's mother. She had her eyes closed and she was praying to someone. God, I suppose. I snuck past her and went around to Dulcie's window. Curtains were closed, but the light was on, and there was a gap down near the bottom. I peeked through the curtains. For a moment, I couldn't make out what was happening. Then I saw Mr. Irvin and Dulcie sitting on the bed. She was naked. He had his shirt on, but his trousers were off. Dulcie was touching him on his thing. They said nothing. It didn't make any sense.
Why am I blindfolded?
Well, Lewis and I have got a surprise for you. Okay, Lewis, that's enough. Now, I'll take this off, but you've got to close your eyes, right? Until I tell you to open them.
All right.
Now, on the count of three. One, two, three. Well, how do you like it? It's all level now.
Where did you get it?
Secret.
I knew you two were out at night stealing soil.
We didn't, did we, Lewis?
No, we didn't steal it.
Well, where did you get it?
Oh, look, accept that we got it. You should be celebrating. The backyard's level and I've got the job at the power station.
Where did you get the soil from, Lewis? Lewis?
Under the house.
Under the house?
Yes.
Is this why the house is falling down, Eric?
I'll fix it up. I mean, the foundations were too weak. But look at the backyard.
Oh, my God. I think I'm going mad.
Where are you going?
Inside. I want to rest.
She'll come round, Lewis. Women find it hard to accept presents. They always make a song and dance.
I didn't feel like going to school anymore. I was too messed up. I couldn't tell anyone about the flying saucer. I knew no one would believe me, so I hid in the paddocks looking for more of them.
The American military said today that they had a secret weapon against the Russians, a new type of aircraft.
You gonna cook tea?
It's called a flying wing.
What about tea?
And that's exactly what it is. In other news today, Prime Minister Menzies gave
You're using too much Bex. I know you are. Garbage bins filled with empty packets. So, you're not going to cook tea?
Day after day, Mum sat blank-faced in front of the television. Dad said, women go like that sometimes.
Fish and chips, they're great, aren't they?
Parish is tomorrow, sure, Lewis.
We should have got some more potato cakes.
Once I start my job at the power station, we can get Chinese takeaway.
Ugh, not cheap food.
Get some of the snowy mountains, okay? Well, it's good to be back. Got some real good changes coming here. Soon take a piece of flake in here, Mum.
Hey, Lewis. What are you doing here? Can you be at school?
Oh, I don't feel like it.
Can't blame you. Fast wagon school, eh?
Are you in school?
Your manner of speaking. Should be preparing for my afternoon round. Postal authorities are like headmasters. Just full of farts. Hey, give us a hand. Get rid of the stuff in these bags.
Yeah, sure. How do you believe in flying saucers, Mr. Pisano?
My wife used to throw them at me. She's a whore. She sent me a letter from Bangkok, working in a whorehouse there. And crackers here. Was crackers when she went. Opened them right out and tipped them up. Thai men apparently like to lick white women's feet. That's right.
They're letters.
Been collecting them for a while. Just scatter them about.
But
I know what I'm doing. They're all stupid stuff anyway. Bills and stupid letters like, "Dear Joan, how are you? I'm fine. You fine? Now, that's right. Now." It should burn like buggery over the loss.
And it won't stop. It'll burn everything.
Just the paddocks and letters won't cross the road. Jeez, look. It's going to burn like a beauty.
was right. It didn't jump across the road, but burnt all the paddocks and his letters. Everyone in our street came outside and watched it burn through the night. They stared at the fire with eyes like zombies. Everyone was out there. Mum, Dad, my sisters, Mr. and Mrs. Irvin, Dulcie too, but she refused to talk to me. In the night, the fire was reflected in their eyes. Then as the fire died away, I realized the whole neighborhood had been taken over. These weren't my neighbors and family. The aliens had taken over my neighborhood. Everything fell into place. Dulcie, her dad, my family, Brian, Mr. Bizarro. Aliens had taken them over. All those things I had seen, it now made complete sense. I understood. I lay awake listening to the house slowly collapse. I knew the truth, and no one else did. I didn't judge Emma so badly now. I also knew I was the only one not infected. Maybe Dad had brought her back. Who knows? All I knew was that I felt happy. Happy because everything now made sense. Early in the morning, before anyone woke up, I set out. Mr. Bizarro was dancing on the burnt ground. He had no clothes on. He called to me, but I took no notice. The aliens possessed him. I headed north.
Summer of the Aliens by Louis Nara. With Ben Pawley as Lewis, Linda Cropper as Mum, Nicholas Eady, Dad, and Dinah Shearing as Grandma. Belinda Chikosh played Dulcie, Catherine Duffy, Emma, Dylan Howarth, Brian, George Spartel's Mr. Bizarro, with Peter Carroll as Mr. Trout, the teacher, as the adult Lewis, looking back, Louis Nara. Also in the cast, Beth Child, Annie Byron, Carrie Zivitz, Tyler Coppin, Zvabomir Varbik, John O'May, Kirsten MacLeod, Bill Conn, Patrick Phillips, Kevin Goldsby, Harold Burchill, Vanessa Pohl, Emily Nicol, Paul Hunt, Andrew Tai, Mary Hare, Alan Tobin, David Owen, Anuska Ward, and Amanda Gallick. The music was composed by Sarah de Jong. Summer of the Aliens was directed by Jane Ullman.